It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We are live. What is up? A to Z Sports. Sam Phelan here alongside my friend Jack Gentry as we go ahead and recap night one, round one of the 2024 NFL Draft. Your Tennessee Titans selected J.C. Latham, Alabama offensive tackle, with the seventh overall pick. So Jack and I react to that a little bit more after our draft show last night. We give you guys an opportunity to sound off in the comments and let us know how you feel about the Titans' first round pick. And then we take a look at day two. There are still a lot of very talented players left on the board. So who do we have our eyes on for the Titans with pick 38? We will be live again later tonight to recap that. So a lot of draft talk to get into after day one. Jack, it is only chugging along here, not slowing down here with day two. More picks to be made, more players to make Titans, more players to react to. So welcome in. Tell the folks what to do.
Oh, baby, I'm back, chat. I see y'all getting in here before we get going. I'm going to get to you guys. But listen, we got to do our homework first. Okay, if you're watching right now, make sure you like the show. Drop a thumbs up. We've got 14 right now. We need to get those numbers up. There's over 162 of you guys in here. Let's go ahead and bump those numbers up. So like the show on your way in. If you're watching on Facebook, share the show. Share the show to your Titans Facebook groups. Everybody's got an opinion on this J.C. Latham pick, whether it's good or bad. I want to hear from all of you. We want to take the temperature of the Titans fan base today. It's a big day to be a Titans fan. So we want to hear from you guys in the chat throughout the show. Make sure to share the show on Facebook. Let's grow this audience. It helps us grow the show, and that's good for us. If you're watching on YouTube, tap that bell icon near the top of your screen and turn your notifications on. I'm telling you guys, you're not going to want to miss an update over these next 48 hours from A to Z Sports. They've got you covered with all things Titans. It's going to be a really fun weekend here as day two gets going later tonight. Finally, if you're watching on Twitch, text that Twitch link around to your Titans text groups. I know all of you guys have been texting in those groups. I know some of you guys are doom and gloom. I know some of you guys are happy that the Titans filled a critical need. Either way, text this show's link into your Titans text groups, and let's get everybody in here, grow the show, grow the audience, and Sam, let's get this show on the road.
Yep, let's do it officially here. Welcome in to A to Z Sports, powered as always by the BetMGM app. I'm Sam Phelan. He is Jack Gentry, and this is A to Z Sports, Nashville's on-demand sports talk network, going live weekday mornings at 8 Central Time on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links to the show tweeted out segment by segment on the Twitter X timeline, and you can also check out the TikTok, Instagram, and Threads for more great Titans content online. We got to thank our sponsors first because they make it happen for us. They help out all of you. They are Wilson County Hyundai. Wilson County Hyundai, make them a part of your new car buying process in Lebanon or at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Farm Bureau Health Plans, better coverage, better rates, better service. Learn more about a plan for you at fbhp.com/ATOZ. The Bone and Joint Institute, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. Schedule your appointment at boneandjointtn.org and Krebs Kubota, an elite Kubota dealer located in Columbia, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. Visit them online at KrebsKubota.com. Jack, you see it at the bottom. Titans pick J.C. Latham. I think a lot of Titans fans probably thought, hey, if J.C. Latham was going to be the pick, it was going to be in a trade back scenario where they ended up in the early teens. It was not. And there was a couple of reasons why that I'm sure we will get into. But I know your initial reaction was rather positive. So I guess, can you go ahead and just tell the people off the bat here what it is you like about J.C. Latham and his fit for the Titans in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, I really love J.C. Latham's physicality, and he couples that physicality with footwork. He's an iceberg on the left tackle with good feet, and if he gets his hands on you, you're getting shoved into a locker. I mean, J.C. Latham's an absolute mauler. He can do it in goal line situations, pass blocking situations, run blocking. He really thrives in as well. Here's some of his pros and cons from our James Foster No Flags film. And, you know, there's a lot of things he does well. I mentioned last night the weaknesses. Most of these weaknesses are coachable. You can coach some of these things out of them, like the, you know, the mediocre slide quickness or the limited experience with taking deep vertical sets. Everyone's talked about how he doesn't have a ton of experience going up against, you know, fast straight line pass rushers. And he's going to get a test in Titans training camp against Arden Key and Harold Landry, who both kind of possess that trait where they can sharpen some of the tools in J.C. Latham's shed here and get him up to par and hopefully transform him into an all-pro level left tackle. Now, a lot of people are upset because, you know, they felt like J.C. Latham, you could have waited to get him. You could have traded back and still wound up with J.C. Latham. I'm not so sure you could have, and I'm not so sure that there was interest, enough interest, I should say, in, you know, these teams from the back end trying to jump up and jump to number seven. Now, we did hear from Diana Russini that J.C. Latham was Bill Callahan's number one offensive tackle prospect in this draft. He had J.C. Latham ahead of Joe Alt. And remember, Titans fans, we've spent all offseason lauding Bill Callahan as this offensive line guru, the best offensive line coach in the NFL. Now we don't trust him? Now, because it's not, you know, a trade back situation, it's not Olu Fashanu, or it's not the guy you had in your mock draft. Now we don't trust the best in the business and Bill Callahan in evaluating a position that he's been familiar with for over like four decades. Come on, guys. Let's rein it back in. J.C. Latham is going to be a good pick. And the right tackle experience that I mentioned earlier, like it's not like he's never played on the left side. J.C. Latham was the number one offensive tackle prospect coming out of high school at IMG Academy after starting at left tackle in high school. So he has played there before. He spent 2 years playing right tackle, starting at right tackle at Alabama. But there's been plenty of guys who've made the switch. Tristan Wirfs, all pro level left tackle, played right tackle in college. Now with the Buccaneers, is one of the best left tackle in the business. So this has been done before. I'm a big fan of this pick. And I think Titans fans are down on this guy because he's not one of those buzz players. And he's not one of those guys that the national media has been hyping up, at least to Joe Alt's level, over the last couple of months. But don't let that throw a wet blanket on the pick. This guy is a beast, man. The Titans got a good one.
Yeah, I think Bill Callahan is really the essential piece here. You mentioned how Diana Russini reported this was Bill Callahan's top guy. Now, I'll just say, of course, that is going to be the story after he was drafted, right? We're not going to get a story that comes out. Bill Callahan really preferred Joe Alt, but he wasn't there, so settled for J.C. Latham. No, we hear that he loves J.C. Latham. I do buy the fact that they were very high on him. It was something I'd kind of heard in the weeks leading up to the draft. They spent over 2 hours with him in a visit. Bill Callahan specifically had over a two-hour conversation with J.C. Latham when he was on his visit in Nashville. So seriously, a lot of interest here. One of the reasons they didn't trade back, Jack, was risking not getting him. My initial reaction last night when it came out was you could have gotten something if you traded back. I think Lucas Panzeca made a really good point that, you know, the Vikings did trade up for J.J. McCarthy from 11. So they were clearly interested in moving up, but they moved up with the Jets, who were at 10, who then moved back to 11 and still took an offensive lineman. Had the Titans been the team that made that trade with the Vikings, the Titans are back at 11. The Vikings go up to 7 and take J.J. McCarthy. And then you potentially give the Jets an opportunity to take J.C. Latham from under your nose. And so, you know, I think Titans fans and I would have been very okay with them moving back and grabbing an Olu Fashanu at 11. But if the Titans had J.C. Latham as a guy that was very high up on their board, I mean, you can't really knock it. At the end of the day, this regime deserves a kind of a clean slate and the benefit of the doubt. And I tweeted this out last night. I think it did numbers for good reason. FYI, PSA, breaking news, Bill Callahan is better at evaluating offensive line tape than you are. And I'm speaking to Jack. I'm speaking to you, Jack Gentry. I'm speaking to me, Sam Phelan. I'm speaking to every Titans fan watching the show. He is an expert at the offensive line, like you mentioned. And if we were going to gas him up when he became the offensive line coach and we were going to really lean on his development with this offensive line, you also have to then value his opinion when it comes to evaluating the prospects. I know Titans fans might be not all that excited, but Jack, let me tell you who is excited for this Titans draft pick. To quarterback, who is potentially going to be a whole lot safer. Will Levis spent some time with the new Titans left tackle on FaceTime last night after the pick was announced.
Hello? Hey, what's going on, man?
Let's go, baby.
Let's go, man. Let's get it done.
I'm pumped to have you, man. We over here. I'm Peter. What's up, brother?
What's good, fam? How you doing? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, I'm excited to be there, man. I'm ready to go. Ready to get to work.
Chemistry starting early, Jack. Try and protect that young quarterback as best as possible. Titans did him a favor last night.
Yeah, I mean, Will Levis should be a happy man. And look, he's only going to get happier as the weekend goes on because the Titans aren't done adding to that offensive line and adding to that offense in general. So it's awesome to see that Will Levis is already kind of forming a relationship with the guy who's in charge of protecting his blind side. That's a guy you got to keep happy over there. And having Skoronski right next to him, I mean, the security, the stability, just the overall comfortability that you're going to have in that pocket that you hadn't had in your rookie year is going to immediately get flipped. I mean, here's the thing. If you have a leak in your house, Sam, say you have a leak in your house in October, you're not going to wait until Black Friday to go out and get the best deal on something to stop that leak, right? You're not going to go to Dollar General to try and find a solution to that major problem. The Titans didn't wait around, and they addressed their biggest issue in the first round of the draft last night. I get it. You know, there's a lot of people in the chat that were team wide receiver. They wanted to see Roma Dunze, who was on the board, go to the Titans at 7. That's
guilty.
Totally fine. It's personal. It's personal preference. That's what it is. But at the end of the day, you can't tell me that the Titans needed a wide receiver worse than they needed a left tackle. You can't tell me that, especially after watching Will Levis and Ryan Tannehill over the past 2 years take too many hits and sustain way too many injuries to have an off. I mean, you pay all this money to get these receivers. What's the point in having them if your quarterback's hurt? So go ahead and get that guy at left tackle that can protect Levis and kind of, you know, help him develop into the player that Titans fans and the Titans brass hopes that he can be. And, you know, again, you want to have an answer on Levis by season's end this year. And I think you will.
Yeah. I think you are on the money there as far as need is concerned. It's something Brian Callahan did discuss a little bit in the post draft press conference, talking about, hey, we added Calvin, trying to protect that quarterback, give him some time to throw the ball to those receivers is essential. Do I think they would have taken a wide receiver had it been like a Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers? Maybe. I would hope so. But overall, the Titans, I think, as we talked about a little bit last night, this offseason has kind of been themed around winning now, being competitive now, and less so about, hey, how do we like build like the best possible team 3 years from now? They've kind of prioritized filling needs immediately. And J.C. Latham, while he could have long-term value 3, 5, 10 years from now, if all goes well, he does more to fill a need immediately. Rand Carthon and the Titans have a plan for J.C. Latham. We've mentioned it a few times. It is at left tackle. I found the press conference comments from Rand Carthon and Brian Callen very interesting. So we will play those and get to those. Before we do it, want to tell everybody about our friends over at Farm Bureau Health Plans. Better coverage, better rates, better service. Learn more about a plan for you at fbhp.com/ATOZ. Farm Bureau Health Plans, serving Tennesseans for over 75 years. Much has changed in Tennessee over the years, but a lot has stayed the same. And one thing that's always constant is Farm Bureau Health Plans valuing personal relationships, especially when it comes to good health and good service. You can plan on them for health, dental, and vision. And for better rates, better coverage, better service, go to fbhp.com/ATOZ or walk into one of their 200-plus locations across the state. That's fbhp.com/ATOZ.
BetMGM.com is a great deal going on right now. New users, you sign up with BetMGM and plug in our bonus code ATOZ Sports, and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $1,500 if your first bet loses. It's a bonus bet, people. You sign up with BetMGM, plug in that bonus code ATOZ Sports. Maybe you want a day two draft prop. They're going to be available later today. Take advantage of this promotion and get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses.
All right, Jack. Gonna a lot of super chats here. We're gonna save some of these super chats for later in the show. King VZ does say lock in and like the show, though. King VZ's been doing the Lord's work all week here on draft week. So like the show, help us out. Let's get to the goals that we set. Let's make sure we show appropriate love for the draft being here and for new players putting on Titans uniforms. So thank you to King VZ. And then I see some fun super chats here about my reaction to the picks and being the Chicago Bears pick. And then what the heck happened in Atlanta? We're going to get to all that later on in the show. But first, let's listen to what Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan had to say at St. Thomas Sports Park last night when discussing the plan for J.C. Latham at left tackle.
Exactly. Yes, we're going to start him at left tackle. You know, he's played right tackle at Bama. I know he's practiced at left tackle. He's taken reps there, so it's not foreign to him. But yeah, you know, he's going to start off at left.
How much did your experience with, you know, your father's experience doing that before, how much did that factor into your confidence to do this time?
There's a precedent. I mean, guys have played right and played left and made the switch. It's not super uncommon. I mean, it's happened before. So we got a comfort level with the player and the athlete and what he's capable of. And so having him go to left and start out there, look, if he doesn't feel comfortable there, it doesn't look right, look natural, moving back to right. And like I said the other day, he tackles, period. So it doesn't really affect us one way or the other. Which tackle he plays. So he's just a really strong, powerful, big, athletic human. There's not a lot of guys that look like him on earth. So we like that.
So that video from my guy Teron Davenport, forgot to add a little lower thirds there. So my apologies to my guy Teron. But yeah, that is from him last night at St. Thomas Sports Park. A couple of interesting things. Obviously, Rand says, hey, starting at left tackle, they talked a little bit about how J.C. Latham sees himself as a left tackle, how he does have the abilities, the requisite abilities to do that and make that transition from right to left. As you heard, it was been done before. Jack, I think the most interesting thing in that clip is Brian Callahan saying, if it doesn't work, we move him back to right tackle, and it doesn't really matter to us which one he plays. It should matter to the Titans, no?
Yeah, absolutely it should, but it's nice to know that they believe he can make the switch to left. And I think that, you know, the only way he would be moved back to right is if they found a better option at left tackle in this draft, which means they might be thinking about double dipping. Now, we'll get into that here in a minute. I want to read this comment first because it's absolutely mind-numbing. MB says, Jack, it's blue chip versus need. I believe you take the blue chip player first. Okay, MB, who was team wide receiver last night. Roma Dunze was probably the third-ranked wide receiver on the Titans board compared to J.C. Latham, who was the top offensive tackle on the Titans board. That is blue chip, MB. That is also a need. You take both of those things rather than the third-ranked receiver on your board. All these mock draft people get their feelings so hurt because their pick did not get taken by the Titans. It's a blue chip player who also fills a need here. What are we talking about? You've got it all backwards, MB.
I think blue chip refers, I can see where he is coming from a little bit here. I don't necessarily know if I would consider Latham to be a blue chip.
But it doesn't matter what you consider. It matters what the Titans consider.
Sure. No,
they
yeah.
They have the number one offensive tackle on their board. That is a blue chip prospect.
It comes down to, their evaluation versus everybody else's evaluation. And, you know, the league was certainly, and analysts and experts and, you know, scouts that are previous scouts, whatever, certainly less high on J.C. Latham than the Titans were. The factor that always goes into the draft is what a team's draft board looks like, and not exactly they're not using the PFF ranking list or the consensus big board that we've used on the show. They're going off of their own evaluation. And so maybe J.C. Latham was the fifth best player on the board and the first best offensive tackle. And when the pick came up to them, he was the best player left on their board and was at a position of need. And it just made sense. I do think, right, we've heard that narrative about the wide receivers, though, for years, or for this entire cycle, this year here, that all three of these guys are probably the first receiver off the board in most draft classes, and you've got three of them. And so I do see where MB is coming with the idea of Rome Odunze, one great dude, like maybe the my favorite person that I talked to at the combine with his interview and media availability. But then if he is one of those wide receiver ones in any given draft class and you had an opportunity to draft him at seven, I can see why that is attractive and you know, maybe precedes need a little bit. But the unknown variable in all of this is just where the Titans had J.C. Latham stacked up, not just to the other offensive tackles, but to the rest of this draft class and other prospects.
Yeah. I think there's just a common misconception going on right now that the Titans drafted for need. If they really truly were drafting for need at left tackle, wouldn't have Fashanu made more sense, the guy who played left tackle in college, rather than Latham, who had spent time at right tackle? So a lot of these opinions that I'm seeing and a lot of these reasons for people being upset about Latham don't make sense to me.
It's an interesting philosophy because you heard it from Brian Callahan, even in that video that we just played. Almost an emphasis on he's big, he's strong, and he can block people. And I don't know if it's left tackle or right tackle, but he's a tackle and he'll be valuable because of that. It certainly feels like less of a need-based approach than some other teams. I mean, the Chargers kind of had a similar approach by taking Joe Ault, who is a left tackle by trade. Rashawn Slater is also a very good left tackle that they have on their roster. They're going to have to figure out which one's moving to the right side, probably Ault, but I think he's capable of doing so. The Titans taking more of a casual approach to it, where they're thinking, hey, big, strong, athletic dudes that can block will have a role on this team. Jack, I want to get into our first question here. I want to unleash the hounds. I want to let the chat kind of shed some more of their opinion, and I'm curious to see where you go with this. It's our classic game that we like to do after big Titans news like this. So, chat, what is one word to describe the Titans selecting J.C. Latham with the seventh overall pick? What is one word to describe the Titans selecting J.C. Latham with the seventh overall pick? While you guys go ahead and do that, I will tell all of you about our friends at the Bone and Joint Institute. The Bone and Joint Institute is the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. Go out to them, located out in Franklin, and don't fumble on your recovery. They have a state-of-the-art rehab facility located just off the highway to assist you with everything all under one roof. No need to drive everywhere in Middle Tennessee to get to your different appointments, clinic, rehab, imaging, surgery, testing. It's all there out in Franklin at the Bone and Joint Institute. So go and see them. Good doctors, great reliable care. Schedule your appointment with them at boneandjointtn.org.
BetMGM.com is your place to go if you're looking to get some skin in the game. There's plenty of stuff to bet on. The Preds play tonight. Might talk about that a little later on. That's a tease. And also, you know, everything with the MLB, the NFL draft, NBA playoffs are in full swing. Everything's happening all at once right now. Don't miss out. Download BetMGM, plug in that bonus code ATOZ Sports, bet responsibly, and take advantage of that bonus code, that bonus offer, I should say, up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If your first bet misses, that's only at BetMGM.com.
All right, Jack. So ask the chat one word to describe the Titans' selection of J.C. Latham. What is the chat got to say?
It's a mixed chat, as it was last night and as it will be for the rest of the day, I imagine. Stephen Crocio says early, thought J.C. Latham was taken a little bit early. Ed Rogers is just okay. Lou Man says sad. Nick Ewing, somebody help this man. Warmack 2.0.
Oh, boy.
Somebody give Nick Ewing a hug. Optimistic from Zombie. We've got B minus, okay, from Trey. Awesome, depressed, hedge, wise, underwhelming, Bill, reach from Sean Gill. I don't know if he's talking about J.C. Latham's 35-inch arms, but maybe he's talking about a reach.
I doubt it.
Yeah, with the pick. Protection from Patrick Bird. Smart from John Foster. Reach from Jeff Rubel, whose team drafted a person that the NFL or the doctors just, you know, advised to medically retire years ago. Congratulations, Jeff Rubel. You've drafted Caleb Farley part two. Pistol Ramsey says satisfying, surprising from Guy Man, based from Jason, Isaiah Wilson from American Top. Some of you guys need a hug.
Combining Isaiah Wilson's name into one word for the exercise is a respectable move, I have to
That is respectable, just as it is crazy. Connor says boring. Derek says Mahler. Positive from Blake. Mark Patton says awesome. Courtesy, I like this word. Anchored. Safe from Sky. Culture. Underwhelming. Outstanding. Callahan. Smart. Pancakes. Ooh, that's a great one. King. Brick. Let's see. Bill. So devastating. Look, totally different sides of the spectrum throughout the
Yeah. game. What's your one word, Jack? I'm excited to see where you go with this. One word to describe this pick.
I think comfortable. I think it's a comfortable pick. I think Will Levis should feel comfortable with this pick, something that he did not feel very often last season in the pocket. And when you have a young quarterback looking to develop and looking to kind of mature in how he sees the game, don't you want to give him the most time possible in the pocket so he can understand what's going on, so he can see it, so he can make these reads, so he doesn't have to force these throws? And coming out of college, and even we saw flashes of it last year, you know, Will Levis's turnover issues and turnover-worthy plays are one of his red flags. Well, how do you eliminate some of that? You give him stability in the pocket. You make him comfortable to where he doesn't feel like he has to get rid of the ball or he has to make a hero play. You've done that in getting J.C. Latham. Carthon wants to start him out at left tackle. We'll see if he sticks. I truly believe that that's the spot where he'll land. And, you know, if he works out over there next to Skoronski, you've got to feel really comfortable if you're Will Levis. And so these wide receivers, like, Will Levis isn't the only guy that's going to benefit from Latham. Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard are going to be able to get to the second level where they can start making some of these guys miss and turning 7-yard runs into 45-yard touchdowns. Also, these wide receivers. I mean, Calvin Ridley. Well, I mean, these guys have the breakaway speed, right? They can make that happen. And then Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins can make plays down the field like we saw D-Hop do last season with Will Levis. So these wide receivers, their routes are going to be able to develop down the field. Levis is going to have more time to be able to find them. And the Titans are going to be able to take the top off of defenses next season while also setting them up in the run game and gashing them on that left side. Those run left hats, I don't know if those stopped getting printed, but we may need to run those back.
Yeah, well, real quick reminder to like the show. You don't have to like the pick to like the show, so go ahead and do that for us. I know Facebook's lacking behind here today. YouTube is definitely running away with the like title so far this evening. So make sure Facebook gets more involved there. Drop a like on the show. Jack, my one word is going to be gamble. Gamble. This feels like a gamble to me by the Titans. It's a gamble on themselves as much as it is a gamble on J.C. Latham. This is a bet on yourself and a bet on your own evaluation. To take a right tackle, evaluate him, and say, our evaluation tells us this is a guy who can play left tackle, you are confident in that evaluation, and you are making a pretty big bet on it here with using the 7th overall pick to go and select him. This is not an Isaiah Wilson pick. This is not in the late 20s. Like, even if J.C. Latham was Isaiah Wilson, or you wanted to compare him to Isaiah Wilson, like, these picks are not the same. This is a top 10 pick. So I think this is a gamble by the Titans on J.C. Latham's ability to evaluate him, and quite frankly, on the talent that they have within the organization right now. I'm curious by some of these comments where Brian Callahan says, you know, if he's not at left tackle, he's at right tackle, and we feel comfortable with that. That means you're willing to take a gamble on your scheme and your ability to know that his impact at right tackle will be just as strong as it is at left tackle. There was another comment from, I think it was Brian Callahan, maybe it was Rand Carthon, one of the two last night said, if J.C. Latham ends up at right tackle, we have internal options at left tackle that we feel comfortable with. So, I don't know who that is that the Titans currently look at their roster and say, there's a left tackle. Do they evaluate Nicholas Petit-Ferrer? Well, maybe. There's a lot that is unknown about how Bill Callahan and the new Titans coaching staff feels about the offensive linemen on this roster. And so I think the Titans are taking a gamble on their current evaluation process, and this pick is a reflection of that.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't hate that word because, you know, every draft pick is essentially a gamble, right? Like you never know how these guys are going
to
pan out.
There's leaps to it, right? Like draft picks are gambles. Yes. Drafting Malik Nabers or Joe Alt, not that the Titans could have done either one of those things, don't get me wrong, is less of a gamble than rolling the dice on a player playing a position he never played in college.
Agreed.
And this is the draft. This is the name of the game in the draft, right? How do you find the value that nobody else is seeing or that people are undervaluing, right? Is it, you know, it's something that John Robinson did too much and cost him too much when he said, I can gamble on Caleb Farley and the injury concerns because I see all of this upside, and I can gamble on the project that is Dylan Raiden's because I think we can evaluate him. The Titans are telling you right now they're willing to gamble on Bill Callahan's love of J.C. Latham and the players they have on their roster right now. If they're right, this is going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome pick at 7th overall, where you are getting a franchise left tackle. If they're wrong, maybe he's just a fine right tackle. And at the 7th,
that's okay.
At the 7th, you can get a fine right tackle in the 3rd round. There's plenty of those guys.
There's a high floor here with J.C. Latham, I believe. And drafting is, you know, the NFL draft is like one big poker game, right? But I feel like with Bill Callahan at the table, that's like having Daniel Negreanu, okay? Like one of the best poker players of all time, kid poker. You've got Daniel Negreanu and Bill Callahan over there counting cards. He can tell who's bluffing. He knows what he's doing immediately when he sits down at that table. You got to feel really good with the chips in front of Bill Callahan at this poker table in the draft.
Yeah, Bill, what it is here is Rand Carthon is an experienced poker player who is sitting down. He's maybe not the most experienced, but he's really good. We know he's really young, really good. He's one of the hottest new poker players on the tour, and he's sitting down looking at his cards, and Daniel Negreanu looks over his shoulder, Helmuth looks over his shoulder, Phil Ivey looks over his shoulder, and
hell
says,
yeah, there we go,
and goes, hey, you should 3-bet here, you should raise, or he looks across the table and goes, call. Hey, you got the cards in your hands. You're about to call. You're about to raise. You're about to do whatever big Helmuth, Ivy, Negreanu behind you tells you to do here. If Bill Callahan is the offensive line guy that has control of this room and kind of dictates their evaluation and that they rave about his ability to break down details and attention to detail in film, you'd think they would trust his analysis and evaluation of draft prospects as well. And so, yeah, that's what they're taking a big investment in, is Bill Callahan's knowledge of offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. And I think that doesn't make this gamble a safe bet by any means, but I think you have to have confidence in what you're holding. And you know, Bill Callahan, Rand Carthon, it kind of felt like they were going to use Bill Callahan as a major draft asset anyways when it came to evaluating these prospects. We heard Rand Carthon say, man, I've never seen anybody evaluate this position like Bill Callahan does. So he felt extremely confident in Bill Callahan, who, by the way, has been coaching offensive line, whether it's in college or in the NFL, since 1984. That's 40 years, people. 4 decades of experience in that room, helping you make your decision for the future of the franchise at left tackle. I trust Bill Callahan. I do. And that's why I'm high on this pick.
All right. Well, I think that's about all of the thoughts that you and I have about J.C. Latham for now. We'll cannot wait to hear Bill Callahan talk more about Latham and get to meet the mammoth human being in person. Maybe sometime today he'll be in for a press conference. So that'll be all very interesting here. Jack, let's look ahead to today. Let's look ahead to some of the best players available and where the Titans are going to go with the 38th overall pick. Before we do it, I want to tell everybody about our friends at Krebs Kubota. Krebs Kubota has an elite Kubota dealer in the mid-state, located in Columbia, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. You can visit them online at KrebsKubota.com. They're Middle Tennessee's preferred equipment dealer with convenient locations in Columbia, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. They've served the community for over 18 years. They sell, service, supply parts for the best equipment in the industry. They have a large selection of inventory and stocks at all three locations right now, and they believe in customer service satisfaction that is rooted in an outstanding parts and service department. It is their goal to have the best parts and service in the industry. Visit them online, KrebsKubota.com.
BetMGM, check these guys out online. They're the king of sportsbooks for a reason. And if you're looking to get some skin in the game, some action tonight, there's plenty of stuff to bet on, including the NFL draft. Props should come up here later this afternoon. Download BetMGM, plug in that bonus code ATOZSports, and you'll get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses. The selection's unmatched. There's odds boosts available, parlay selection features, live betting options. They've got it all at BetMGM.com. So download BetMGM.com, plug in that bonus code ATOZ Sports, and get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses.
All right, Jack, here's a look at some of the best players available via ESPN heading into night two of the NFL draft. Cornerback Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. A lot of people surprised to see him slide out of the first round. You've got Illinois defensive tackle Johnny Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry, a group of wide receivers there with Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, and Keon Coleman. A late surprising run that saw Ricky Pearsall go, Xavier Leggett go, and Xavier Worthy go at the end of the first round leaves Mitchell, McConkey, and Coleman without teams heading into day two. Braden Fisk is a defensive tackle out of Florida State, Marshawn Neyland out of Western Michigan. A couple inside linebackers, Edrin Cooper, Junior Colson, Peyton Wilson, another inside linebacker that remains on the board. And then a couple offensive tackles. Patrick Paul, we know all about his physical ability. I've talked about him time and time again. And then Kingsley Suamataya out of BYU, the cousin of Penei Sewell, who just got paid by the Detroit Lions. For you, for the chat, and Jack, I'll have you go before the chat here with this one. But when you look at that list of players and when you consider who's still on the board, who should the Titans target with the 38th overall pick? Who should the Titans target with the 38th overall pick, Jack Gentry?
Yeah, you feel really good heading into day two, right? Because there's three kind of avenues that you could take here, whether you want to add a receiver, another tackle and double dip, or go get a linebacker. You feel pretty good about the guys that have slipped, right? You've got A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Troy Franklin at the wide receiver spot. You mentioned Patrick Paul, Kingsley Suamataya, or Suamataya. I think I'm saying that right. Suamataya.
Yeah.
I got to work something on like that. Maybe if they end up drafting
it's a tough him, one.
Figure it out. But and then you got Junior Colson and Edrin Cooper still available at linebacker. So you've kind of got your pick of the litter if some of those guys slip to 38. There's two guys specifically that I'm interested in, and the chat may get onto me here because I'm going to leave out a position that they're going to be excited about. I think you wait on wide receiver. I think you wait till day three to find a receiver because you've got your 1A, you've got your 1B, and D-Hop and Ridley. What you're really missing is another tackle and an inside linebacker to potentially wear the green dot. And there's two players that I have in mind, and that's Kingsley Suamataya from BYU. You mentioned he's Penei Sewell's cousin. He's got experience starting at both right tackle and left tackle. So he can play both sides. He's allowed just two sacks in the last two seasons. And in his redshirt freshman year at BYU, Sam gave up zero sacks and just three quarterback hits on over 300 pass blocking snaps. This guy's a beast, and he's trained with Penei Sewell since he was in junior high. He has this quote that I love. He loves to run block, by the way. This is what he says. He said, run blocking is just who has the nuts to drive the person in front of them. I got to let the little guys know that it's not a joke around here. I love that.
Oh, what a quote.
That's a savage right there.
What is that quote from? That's incredible.
He is a savage on the outside of that offensive line, no matter where you plug him in.
It's not a joke around here.
He's got to show these little guys what's up, man. And I love that attitude. And I think that's a guy that the Titans could really use to shore up some of those offensive line issues. Now, the issue is, no matter who they take at 38, they're going to end up pushing one of these major needs back to day three, most likely. So on the other side of the coin, I think that Junior Colson is a guy that I'm really interested in. Linebacker out of Michigan. He's from Ravenwood High School. If you're not familiar with his story, it's amazing. He grew up in Haiti and he lost his dad early and, you know, grew up in an orphanage. But in 2012, his adoptive mother was on a mission trip in Haiti after the earthquake. And ended up adopting him. He went to Ravenwood High School, ended up becoming Michigan's leading tackler. And he's got, a combination of speed and explosiveness. He can cover running backs in wheel routes and, you know, different types of stuff in the passing game. So he can do both of those things. But he's a high IQ player, Sam. And I think he's perfect for the green dot role in this defense. The Titans have talked about how Kenneth Murray, you know, is best if they just let him go play. No thinking involved over there. Just go be a dog, Kenneth Murray. You bring in Junior Colson, you let him call the defense, you let him wear the green dot. And I think that that really addresses, in my opinion, the second biggest need on this Titans roster. Finding a wide receiver is great, but I still think the inside linebacker spot is a more desperate need than that third wide receiver spot. So for that reason, Junior Colson is number one on my list today.
I do agree with you as far as need is concerned at inside linebacker. If you could find an inside backer that fills that green dot role, that'd be huge for this defense. The thing for me with inside linebacker has really always been value. And like second round is 38 overall, a spot that the best value is at inside linebacker. Is that a spot that you could address in round four or five? Maybe, right? I mean, there is a significant drop off in some of the top talent. You've got guys like Cedric Gray, like Junior Colson that you mentioned, like Peyton Wilson, like Adrian Cooper. There are a lot of inside backers that the Titans could target that would fill a need and I think be a very good pick. That's not the direction I'm going to go, but let's go to the chat. Chat kind of Patrick agrees with you. He wants Patrick Burr, or he wants Colson here. Rashid wants Tavondre Sweat. Endorse. I'm all in on Tavondre.
Couldn't you wait around for Sweat possibly?
I don't know, man. I don't know what the deal with Sweat is.
His stock is a mystery.
Because he's a first-round talent. Like, after the Senior Bowl, I had heard Tavondre Sweat is not getting out of this first round. And then there's obviously the off-the-field stuff with the DWI that has sort of been a mystery. I think some teams are concerned about weight. He does weigh over 360 pounds, which is a great thing. But he'll admit to you firsthand, like, hey, if I don't, like, grind on cardio, I can go up to 400 real quick. And so I do think there is some concern about that. I'm not concerned about that, but other teams might be. So I think we could see him go with like the first 10 picks of round two. I think it could be a long wait for him until a team feels comfortable. Tavondre Sweat's interesting, Jack, because let me actually go ahead and show this real quick if I can find it again. This was from our guy, Travis May with A to Z Sports, and it's not wanting to show. There it is. Rand Carthon's first draft with the Titans last year featured two players that the team officially met with three times ahead of the draft, Will Levis and Tajay Spears. They also had a confirmed private meeting with Jalen Duncan and a rumored pre-draft visit with Peter Skoronski. Four of their six picks last year, pre-draft private meetings. This team values the person that every player is. They value having the opportunity to meet somebody in person. And so if I look at these prospects, I have to ask, if the Titans haven't met with you in person or hosted you for a meeting, are they really going to draft you at 38 overall? I'll note that Tavondre Sweat, the day after he was arrested for DWI, posted bail, flew to Nashville, met with the Titans. They have precautions in place to make sure that mistakes are not character issues that deter them from drafting a talent. There is a chance that Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, the Titans defensive staff, and Denard Wilson have met with Tavondre Sweat, feel good about who he is as a person despite the arrest, and make him a pick at 38. I wouldn't rule that out, and I think the connection and the fact that we know they hosted him could be important here. Eric wants Keon Coleman is who his guy is. Steven says go Patrick Paul and double dip. Ooh. Darius says a pass rusher. Zach says O-line. Ken says defensive line. Take Kool-Aid or trade back for more picks. Junior Colson, Malachi Corley, DeJean Mitchell or Newton. Orlando says if DeJean is there, you take him. Cooper DeJean, somebody keep in mind, could play safety. A lot of teams potentially see as a safety. Brandon Connor agrees, says Johnny Newton or Cooper DeJean. Trade back or get Colson, Peyton Wilson, take Colson, Newton. Tavondre Sweat, a wide receiver, Patrick Paul, Adonai Mitchell from Texas.
It's surprising that he's still up there, by the way. A.D. Mitchell?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's made it this far.
I'm surprised Worthy went before him, to be honest. We got more Patrick Paul, more Newton, more Cooper DeJean. So a lot of very, very different answers. Jack, I think there is going to be a run here on some of these corners and receivers early on. I think the fact that you've got Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry and three receivers that potentially had first-round grades for some teams, I think we're going to see a lot of those guys go before the Titans are on the clock. My hope and my thought, could this set the Titans up to then grab a defensive lineman? Could a guy like Johnny Newton fall to the Titans at 38? Could a guy like Braden Fisk fall to the Titans at 38, who tested out of this world at the combine? I still look at a guy like Tavondre Sweatin. He's not on this list of best players available. I look at him as a real, real need for the Titans that could be a really good player. So if the cornerbacks and wide receivers are going to go, I look defense. I'm open to the idea of one of the top or maybe the top inside linebacker in the draft, if that's where you're at, because realistically, 38, you could be taking the first inside linebacker. That's a really good spot to be in, getting the best guy at a position group. And if you're the Titans, you're then getting your number one offensive tackle in J.C. Latham and your number one inside linebacker in whoever it ends up being. I think that's intriguing. And then I look at those defensive linemen. Johnny Newton would be a dream, I think, for the Titans at 38. Somebody who nobody really saw getting out of the first round, let alone dropping that far. So those are the guys that are on my mind and have my eyes here.
Okay. You know, something that we should probably note here is that in the second round, there's going to probably be three or four receivers taken before the Titans get on the clock. Because the Buffalo Bills will lead us off. They got rid of Diggs. They got rid of Davis. They need one.
The only reason the Bills trade back from their spot twice is because they probably have a wide receiver that they love who they didn't think was going to go. I think that's going to be like a Ladd McConkey or a Keon Coleman, and they're going to want to grab him right there at 33. So the options at wide receiver are going to definitely thin out. I don't think Cooper DeJean is going to make it back to 38. That would be interesting if he did, but
I think it's going to be close because the Bills at 33 need a receiver. You know, the Patriots, they drafted their quarterback of the future. They need a receiver over there in New England at 34. And then you've got the Commanders who could use a playmaker at 36. And then right in front of the Titans, you have the Los Angeles Chargers. Two options. So I think a run on receivers is going to happen immediately once day two gets going. So that out could, but that's okay for the Titans because you can still have some of these guys at major positions of need slip to you if you have them rated highly. A couple guys to keep an eye on today who the Titans brought in for top 30s, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Junior Colson, Roman Wilson was a guy they brought in for a top 30 visit. I don't know if he's a guy you take at 38, but hey, they've done their due diligence on him if that's the route they want to take. So those are a couple names to keep an eye on as day two gets rolling later tonight.
Well, and here's Rand Carthon talking about the 38th overall pick. He said last night that they had a calculated plan coming into the draft and a guy or guys in mind that they believed would make it to them and they'd have a chance to grab.
You know, we're sitting, once we get up, I'm looking over the shoulder now, just seeing who Minnesota picked, kind of playing it all in my head of who's going to be available. But, you know, we came in with a targeted plan. We should have some guys available to us that we like, that we figured should be there. But of course, as this thing shakes, you know, there's going to be a couple surprises as we get to the back end of guys being taken that you may or may not have accounted for. So we'll play the board, but we have some, you know, some targeted guys that we'd like to see there at 38.
They've got some targeted guys, and you have to factor it. You have to believe those targeted guys factored into their decision to go offensive tackle at 7. So, I mean, is there a position group here? Like you said, somebody that they met with, a Junior Colson, a Kool-Aid McKinstry, a, you know, whoever that they believe could make it to them at 38. And, you know, seems like they have a pretty solid idea and like targeted strategy of where they're going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's good, right? Having conviction in this day two is going to be really important because there's still, you know, a player that's going to have to come in and probably start. We need a blue player here, right? Rand Carthon had talked about these blue players, guys that can jump in and immediately start with the Titans. And if they can't find a starter in day two, then the Titans are in serious trouble here. But I truly believe that the way the board has fallen and kind of what the Titans needs are aligned here, which is a perfect spot to be in if you're at 38. If you want to trade back and maybe get another pick in day two, I'm all for that as well, because I think, you know, if they really like Roman Wilson, you can kind of get him later in the second round, add that third round pick, come fix that linebacker spot, get another tackle, maybe add to your defensive line. So the world is your oyster if you're the Titans at 38 today.
Yeah, I think that was a great point here. And Roger said this, Sam and Jack are spot on, let Rand cook. I saw another chat here that said, you know, potentially trading back. I think that's kind of the elephant in the room here is that 38 to 100s, what is it, 106 that the Titans' next pick is at? 38 to 106, that's a huge gap. That's going to hurt. And so as much as we sit here and eyeball what's going to happen at 38, I don't rule out the possibility of trading back. It seems less likely with six quarterbacks gone on the top 12 picks.
That there's going to be hanging out there.
Somebody hunting for like Bo Nix right here. But you know, you never know. We will see what Rand Carthon has cooking. Gene says, Sam and Jack, y'all need better mics at the pressers. Get Austin to spend some money. Hey, that was not our audio at the presser. Oh, excuse me. Bless me. Not our audio at the presser. Jack and I were here. We were running the Titan Draft live show presented by Princess Hot Chicken and Holiday World and Splash and Safari. It was me, Jack, and Lucas Panzeca last night for the draft. And we will be back at it tonight for round two. So we'll be going live. That video was taken by Buck, who is over at St. Thomas Sports Park attending the press conferences. So we were not there. I will try and get over to the press conference tonight if we can wrap up the live show in time. But yeah, we'll see what kind of happens. Jack, got some super chats to get to here. So want to make sure that we give some time to all of those before we do it. Want to show some love once again to all of our sponsors and our partners who are making it happen for us and helping all of you out along the way as well. Krebs Kubota, the Bone and Joint Institute, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Wilson County Hyundai. I want to go ahead and throw up Farm Bureau Health Plans here. Better coverage, better rates, better service. Learn more about a plan for you at fbhp.com/ATOZ. Farm Bureau Health Plans been serving Tennesseans for over 75 years. That's fbhp.com/ATOZ. And BetMGM, use the bonus code ATOZ Sports when you sign up with BetMGM. They're the king of sports books. Get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets when your first bet doesn't win. Okay, some super chats here. Darren says, wait, before anyone says anything about anything, what in the blip was that from ATL with Penix for real? Someone please help me understand that one. I also think Zach owes someone a hat. Zach does owe someone a hat. We did confirm that last night. And I don't know. That was the oddball of the draft. The Atlanta Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. at number 8. Insane move. Unjustifiable move. Jack, what the heck were they thinking in Atlanta?
I mean, Atlanta was fired up because they got a quarterback. They're ready to move forward and contend in the NFC South this year. And then you don't do anything to improve your roster by drafting Michael Penix, a guy who most people thought would fall into the teens into this draft. And you see Arthur Blank in the war room after, and it looks a little contentious with Terry Fontenot, the Falcons GM. I'll tell you who the big winner of that pick is, though. Arthur Smith. They fired him, and he probably thinks he got out of there just in time, because this looks like a train wreck that's about to happen. Kirk Cousins, 36 years old. Michael Penix is already old coming out of college. I mean, God knows when he's going to be able to start his first game down there. It's kind of a Hendon Hooker situation up in Detroit where he's going to have to wait around. He's not getting any younger. It makes no sense to me.
But there's a difference between Hendon Hooker and day two or whatever. Like, they took him when? In the second round, third round?
And overall is crazy.
Eight overall, you're using that pick on a quarterback, and you didn't like this. Is not Kirk Cousins on a 2-year deal? And I heard the general manager explain it and say, Kirk is our quarterback. When we look at Michael Penix Jr., we're talking about the future. What future? Kirk Cousins as making $100 million guaranteed on a 4-year contract. Like, 8 overall, what they're trying to do is probably replicate the situation in Green Bay. Let Kirk play for 2 or 3 years, get that guaranteed money out of the way, and then you can transition to Penix if you believe he's your franchise quarterback. But the Packers did that at the end of the first round. Doing it at 8 overall is just madness to me. And I'll tell you, the Packers did that when Aaron Rodgers was an uncertainty. Like, every year felt like, is this the year Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay? Knowing that you just locked up Kirk Cousins, not telling Kirk Cousins this was a possibility. Like, they said, hey, Kirk, we might draft a quarterback at some point. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm thinking, maybe a couple of years from now, they'll use a second round pick on somebody and see if, not the first year after paying me, you go 8th overall. I'd be pissed. He should be pissed. Falcons fans should be pissed. This is horrible madness.
Yeah. You don't hedge your bets at quarterback with a top 10 pick if you're Atlanta after just handing out a massive contract.
It's not a bet even. It's an investment. Like, this is not a bet. You made a $100 million, $180 million with 100 guaranteed investment to Kirk Cousins. You do that because you know Kirk Cousins is a starting franchise quarterback, and he is going to be a really above average solid starter for you. You could have given him Rome Odunze to throw to. You could have taken the first defensive player off the board. You could have protected Kirk Cousins and made sure he doesn't have another Achilles injury by getting him sacked a bunch. This is madness. So
Falcons going to Falcons. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Any more super chats to get to?
Yeah, I got a couple more. Andre comes in, says, I cheered when Alt went, cried when we passed on Rome, got mad when Sam smiled when the Bears took Rome. I don't like JC. I trust Bill to work it. Sorry to make you mad. I did have a good night myself personally. The agendas with Caleb Williams thrown to Rome Odunze, those worked out pretty well for me.
And despite Andre crying here, pretty level-headed response, which you don't see often on the day after the first round draft, right?
Yeah,
he doesn't love JC, he doesn't dislike JC. But he trusts Bill Callahan to make it work.
Well, and I think his reaction kind of summarizes a lot of us, because I didn't cheer when Joe Alt went off the board, but it's no secret I wanted Malik Nabers in a Titans uniform, and Joe Alt going off the board increased the likelihood that Malik Nabers was going to be in the Titans uniform. And so there was a moment that I started to go, uh-oh, is this really about to work out? And those of us in the wide receiver camp were feeling very good. And we're kind of just had our hopes crushed. So, Andre was a lot of us yesterday. King VZ again, lock in, like the show. Always got to like the show. Need more likes on the show post-draft. Tin win with a $2 super chat. Not saying anything, just dropping in for $2. So appreciate
your bartenders.
That out of 10. And then Andre comes back in and says, I'm betting they trade back now to get more picks. 38-106 is far. Defense probably first in line. I'm looking at Javon Baker and Luke McCaffrey later. So looking at a couple maybe receivers there. Yeah, I think, it's kind of the same deal as the first round. You need a dance partner if you're the Titans at 38. And it would make sense to trade down. I think there's still defensive line and offensive line talent out there. Could they trade back and still get a guy like Tavondre Sweat? Maybe that'd be a home run second day for the Titans here. But you would love to get back another pick before 106 so that you're not waiting quite as long to fill all of your needs.
Yeah, and Bork asked a question, what teams have 2 second rounders, maybe a potential trade partner?
Eagles.
Green Bay has 2. I know that the Bills and the Commanders both have 2 second round picks.
The Eagles do as well. So
okay. And there's history there. Not great history between the two teams, but they have made some deals before, we'll say. We'll leave it at that too.
Yeah, and the Bills just got some of those picks from their 2 trades back last night. All right. That's all we got for the show. We got to go ahead and before we head out of here, get to some good news. Got to lighten up the mood. It's good news time. All All right, it's good news, and it is Wilson County Hyundai. Make them a car, make them a part of your new car buying process in Lebanon or at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Wilson County Hyundai is the place to go for your new ride. You can get 0% APR for 48 months on 2023 Sonatas, Santa Fes, or Tucson's. Forget downtown Nashville. Head to Lebanon. See our friends. WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Put your good news in the chat. Good news in the chat here, Jack. And I'm going to go ahead and fire off a tweet here asking people for good news. Well, you, Jack Gentry, tell me, what is your good news on this Friday?
Is there any news better than the Nashville Predators being back in Bridgestone for a playoff game? I don't think there is. Tonight's a big game in this series, and the Canucks are without their goalie once again. He's not expected to return for the series, according to Alex Doherty, former A to Z guy, now with the Tennessee, and does great work covering the Preds. If you don't follow him now, do it. The Preds are back, man, and they're coming back with some momentum. I mean, you could make a case that the Preds should be up 2-0 in this series, you know, if you take 12 seconds out of game one. I feel really good about the Preds' chances here. The playoff experience kind of shined through. It felt like they got beat up a little bit, you know, in terms of, you know, ozone puck possession, where the Canucks kind of dominated in game two, but Saro stood on his head, and they found the cracks into Smith in net on the other side. So I truly believe the Preds are in for a fun game tonight, and I have a good feeling about how they're gonna play both tonight and Sunday. I'll be in the barn on Sunday. I want to see you guys in the chat. Who's going to the game tonight? Y'all got to be loud in there. I know it's going to be crazy. Friday night crowd at 6:30. Doesn't get any better than that. My good news is that the Preds are back in the playoffs, and they're dangerous.
Yeah, I would say the Preds, I like their chances too. At hockey playoffs, we know how much of it is about momentum and having that hot goalie, and it feels like the air got let out of the Canucks balloon here when that goalie goes down and the Preds steal one on the road. So they were one of the hottest teams in hockey down the stretch. They could potentially carry it over. NHL's unpredictable, man. I don't rule anything out. I think the sky is the limit for these Preds right now, and that's fun. I like I've said before, I'm not a Preds guy. Obviously, I'm a Blackhawks fan, not a particularly large hockey guy in general, but I love seeing Nashville ablaze and fired up about sports, and so the Preds certainly providing that. Some good news. Good news, Titans made my birthday wish come true, says Rashid. Is that a birthday of yesterday of like who they drafted, or is this just a general birthday wish that we don't know about that the Titans made? Let us know, Rashid. Great news, we drafted a tackle and not a wide receiver at 7. Good news, the Colts did not get Brock Bowers, which is very good. Good news, Jerry Jones didn't pick Malachi Corlea. Did you see, by the way, what Jerry Jones said about the running back out of Texas?
I don't think I did.
He was talking about, because obviously there is a need in Dallas right now for a running back. After the draft yesterday, he goes, oh, we brought him in here. We like him a lot. He is high on our board. And every Dallas Cowboys scout has to be thinking, hey, Jerry, zip that. We're trying to get him to fall to us in the second round. Quit giving teams ammunition to trade up in front of us. But Jerry gonna Jerry, and he was raving about all the players that he wants.
He's a comedy show. There was a video of him pre-draft where he said, you know, we're picking at 28 or 24th for a reason, because we were the 24th best team in the NFL. Doesn't work like that, Jerry. You were the 8th best team in the NFL. That's why you're picking at 24th. He's losing it, and I'm all for it.
Yeah.
You know, Cowboys, I don't mind seeing them fail.
Burning Devil says, good news. So many good sporting events this weekend. NHL and the NHL NBA playoffs while the NFL draft is going on is really a rocking time for sports. No doubt. Jill says vacation starts at 11:30 PM. So she's going to be on vacation very soon. That's great news for Jill. Let's see what else we got here. Trying to go away from some of these football good news is, man, it's a lot of people wanting to roast Zach for the 7th overall pick.
Titans, Kyle. Oh, there we go. Good news. Dude. Lakers are about to get swept. Oh, man, they are.
Yeah, that is good news for me. I'm anti-LeBron, so anti-Lakers. Therefore, another close sweep that the Lakers are just not getting it done.
I know. They've flirted with wins in all of those games. I'm a big LeBron guy, though.
Do you see any other good news in the chat here?
Titans Kyle, great news. Got a promotion. Congratulations. Oh. I'll get that bag. Good for you.
There we go. I'm trying to think if I have good news this Friday. Nothing really came to mind. I've been so absorbed with draft content. I guess good news.
Well, you think Karen O'Keefe says and Nashville SC plays tomorrow? Good news. Shout out to DJ Bliss. Thanks for all the free coverage, A to Z. Guys, tap in with us tonight. It's going to be really fun. Day we'll two back. Is usually the most fun draft show that we have. I can't wait for tonight with Sam and Lucas.
Listen, why do I hate LeBron? Why is Sam anti-Bron? Guys, it's simple. I'm a Bulls fan. I have to protect the legacy of Michael Jordan.
That's sad.
And LeBron ended my Derrick Rose era. Like, that Derrick Rose team have won multiple NBA championships, but they were having to go through LeBron's super team that ruined basketball when he decided that building a team doesn't matter anymore and he's going to do it himself and cheat by getting all his buddies to take pay cuts so that he can win multiple championships because he couldn't do it on his own. So that's why I hate LeBron.
I mean, Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and the best coach of all time, arguably, and Phil Jackson. It's not like he didn't have any help down there.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, a good supporting cast, but he had a supporting cast. That one, Dennis wasn't on all of those teams. And two, homegrown. Scottie was, a homegrown piece there that they got when he was very young. They got Scottie Pippen before he was Scottie Pippen. I'm just saying, if you're a Bulls fan, you can't like LeBron.
I just disagree with idolizing players that you only know from YouTube highlights.
I don't idolize Michael Jordan.
Seeing them and appreciating them in person is different.
I don't idolize Michael Jordan. I just, I think his run of what he did with the Bulls is unmatched in the league, this day. So, it would have won 8 straight NBA championships had he not gone to play baseball for a little bit, which, by the way, was not a bad baseball player. Like, people like to make fun of his baseball career. He hit like 260 in AA, which is like AA is one step down basically from the majors. They say it's the hardest league. The closest thing to major leagues is 260. He once had an RBI double for the White Sox in an exhibition game. Gotta love Michael Jordan too for repping my White Sox, who are a sham. Maybe that'll be my good news. The fact that I don't have to watch them play baseball because of the NFL draft, because I think they're 3-23 or something like that. Like,
oh yeah, it's bad over there. Tim Tebow was a better baseball player than Michael Jordan.
No, incorrect.
Okay.
Statistically, well, not true.
Okay. Hey, look, I think did Tim Tebow make it to AAA?
Maybe briefly, but the AA is kind of closer to MLB than AAA is. It's kind of
That's ridiculous to say.
No, it's a fact.
No, it's not a fact.
Jack,
don't get promoted straight from AA to the big. Sure, you got to make a stop in AAA.
No, a good amount of development happens in AA. Better prospects are in AA. AAA is kind of where the dwellers of like failed major leaguers go.
Paul Skeens' failure, yes.
Huh?
Paul Skeens is hanging out in AAA.
Sure. No, I mean, some prospects go to AAA.
Most prospects.
It is a well-known.
It's higher. It's a higher level of baseball.
No, it is not.
That's what it is.
I don't know what to tell you. AA is closer to me. It is more of a simulation of Major League Baseball than AAA is. Boy. That is a baseball. Like, you don't know ball if you don't know that one. I hate.
Oh, my gosh.
Jack. You're not going to win a baseball debate with me, buddy. I hate to break
it. I'll take you to town on that, but I think we'll just have to agree to disagree.
Well, we got a $20 super chat before we head out the door here. Noah says, honestly, LeBron was too good too early. Makes it hard to build around a player when he keeps taking bad teams into the playoffs. Jordan's teams fell very short early in his career, which allowed the Bulls to build in the draft. There is potentially something to that as far as a homegrown thing was concerned. The Cavs went to the playoffs LeBron's rookie year. We're never really in the lottery. And so didn't have the opportunity to get top picks. Michael's teams in the late 80s were not great and had more of an opportunity. So potentially some truth there. Truth bomb from Noah. I'm dying on my hill, though, and going to pretend like Jack didn't say what he said about minor league baseball. Anyways, that's all we got for the show.
The truth.
No. Yeah, well, I'll send you some articles. I'll send you some reading material.
I've got enough to read today. I'll be okay. I'll be just fine.
All right. Titans draft show later tonight, Thursday and Friday. We did one Thursday. We got another one coming up for round two of the NFL draft. Me, Jack, Lucas Panziga from 104.5 The Zone going live to recap the Titans draft pick and break down instant reactions for how we feel about where the Titans should go. JC Latham and who else? Thanks for watching. Leave a like on the show before you go. Till next time, we'll see you guys later.
See you tonight.